Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in East Jordan, Michigan, and earned a BS in communications from Grand Valley State University. From 2001 to 2018, he held various positions in the retail industry. And in 2020, he became the National SEL Director for Imagine Learning. On May 5th, 2023, he had an aortic dissection, which caused a massive stroke. And 2 months later, on July 7th, he walked out of the hospital. A walking miracle. His name, Josh Spears. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Josh Spears, a walking miracle, as we begin 2024. Josh, an honor to have you.
Good afternoon, Jack. Great to be with you.
As we start this evening and embark on 2024, can you lead us in an opening prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, we just come to you in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord, and we just ask that you would bless all of the people listening to this broadcast. Lord, that you would prepare their hearts, that you would guide the things that Jack and I say, and that you would use this experience for all of us to draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let's start with your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
By your own admission, a tough childhood. Talk about mom, dad, and growing up in East Jordan.
Yeah, so my childhood was definitely a rough ride. No way to put it. Other way to put it. Had a lot of challenges growing up with my self-esteem, different things like that. Had a lot of instability in the home. You know, in many cases, a lot of domestic violence and different things like that that my eyes saw that a young boy shouldn't see. And so that led to me learning how to process my anger and my frustration in a violent way. So what that led to is me being expelled from five different schools before I got to fifth grade. So I had a lot of big challenges with the with my education and so forth. So that led me to spending all of my middle school years in an alternative school, which at the time it was called a detention school, which was a 2 hour bus ride every day on this little van that all the normal, quote unquote, normal kids called the TART cart. And that's where I got to ride to school in every day. So, but at that school, when I was in that alternative school, I met a teacher. His name is Mr. Lavoy. Right now he lives in Bay City and we still communicate regularly. He sent me a note when he heard all of this happened, and we have been communicating for a long time, and he's a huge part of my story. I use a picture of him and our relationship as part of many of my presentations when I'm talking to people about the power of educators in people's lives. And then that led to Mr. Lavoy giving me a flyer for a football camp at Central Michigan University, and I did yard work and was able to save up enough money to go to this football camp. And when I was walking off the field one day, which I wasn't really that good at that camp, this coach came up to me and started talking to me, and I told him where I was from, and he told me that his recruiting area was up north where I lived. And he goes, maybe you'll be playing for me someday, or maybe I'll be coming and recruiting you someday. And when I was walking back to the dorm, that was one of the first times in my life where I actually saw myself outside of stupid old Josh, that troubled kid who had all these problems. It was the first time in my life that I actually saw past the huge obstacle that was in my way as far as my childhood, my self-esteem. It was the first time I thought, is it possible that I could do that? Is it possible that I could be something more than just this loser? That's how I saw myself. And honestly, Jack, from that time forward, I never got in trouble in school again. And people were wowed when I came back to the public school, because there's this whole long process that took a couple years at the alternative school. And I worked my way through, and I was able, that's really where I found my faith, is during that season of my life. That was where I had my, as our church says, life-changing encounter with Jesus, one of many. And it really led to me focusing on that. And sure enough, 4 years later, that same coach was in my school on a recruiting visit to see me, that same coach. So it was pretty neat to see how that happened and how that came to play.
Did you actually play for him eventually?
I was a walk-on, so I was a scrub scout team guy, but I got to that point, right? That was my goal, was to get there. And that was through that whole process. One thing I learned is that sometimes our dreams and our goals aren't really the point. It's where they take us that's more important. So for me, I was never going to make it to college. I was never going to go to college. It wasn't even on my radar. But when I had that goal, that dream saved my life. It took me from the alternative school to halfway through college before I had to stop playing football. So
we're talking to Josh Spears. 8 months ago, on May 5th, 2023, he had an aortic dissection, which caused a massive stroke. Only 1% of those people that have that type stroke make it to the operating table. And only 40% of those make it off the operating table. And the man can walk and speak. From 2001 to 2018, you had an 18-year career in retail.
Yes.
Talk about that chapter of your life.
Yeah, so that was a chapter of my life that really started with, student loans are coming due, and I needed to find something to do, and I needed to find work. So I was able to get into the management program for Walmart, and then I worked there for several years, and then I moved on to Target, worked there for several years, and then I ended up back at Walmart. It's just the way things worked out, and so that was a really good season of my life because I really learned a lot of business techniques. I learned about dealing with people, dealing with employees that maybe were having a hard time or, giving corrective action, hiring, terminating people, all of that kind of stuff is something I got very comfortable with over the course of that point in my career. But then eventually I started to feel this pull in my heart. And I really felt like that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing, and I could no longer stay doing what I was doing. And one day, in 2017, I was on my way home, and I got a call from my mom, and she told me about a young person in my hometown who had taken their own life. And I walked in my house that day, and I saw my wife and I saw my kids in my really nice house. And I thought, it's not right that I didn't go through all of that just so I can have an easy ride. Somebody's got to do something about those kids that are hurting. And I decided that I wanted to be somebody to do that. So I started shaving my budget, turned in sold my expensive vehicle, started cutting bills, and put myself in a position where I could jump out of the plane. And fortunately, I was able, in January of 2018, I was able to leave that company and start doing my speaking full-time professionally.
We're talking to Josh Spears. He talked about that there was a pull on his heart. Well, there was a lady named Julie that also pulled on his heart. And when Josh married her, he outkicked his punt coverage. When we come back, we're going to talk about Julie. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Josh Spears. Josh, you fall in love with Julie?
Mm-hmm.
She's an occupational therapist?
Yes.
Special lady?
Yes.
God blessed you with Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Danny? Benji? Talk about Julie and the family.
Talk about outkicking your punt coverage, Jack. My wife and my family are a perfect example for me every day of God's grace. The fact that I have a wife that I love so deeply, and our marriage is we're able to put together a very happy home for our boys. It just fills me with joy as I think about my wife and how we met and all of those different things. And even like as I made that transition, basically giving up a management career to go start something new with no certainty at all, and her to have my back and say, you know what, you should do it. You really need to do that. It's something that you really, really should do. And she has that really good mix of letting me be me, but also she's not afraid to say, okay, especially in the last 6 months, Jack, with all of my medical things, it's been an up and a down having an occupational therapist as a wife, because I get a lot of extra advice. I got a lot of extra direction. And, you know, as a guy, sometimes that can be hard to take, right? So she'll tell me that, you know, I need to do this or I need to do that. But in many cases, in all cases, she's leading me the right way. That's one thing I know with my wife. In all situations, I know that she is on her intentions. She's on the side of right. You know, she's going to be leading me the right way.
All right. In 2020, you join Imagine Learning. You're the National SEL, Social and Emotional Learning Director for the company. And things are going good. All right? So we jump ahead to May 9th, 2023. You're on a Zoom call with some people, and it's noon. Your life is never the same since. What happened?
Honestly, Jack, I would love to give you an exact play-by-play, but I honestly don't remember. I know that I was on the call and I was doing my presentation. I was presenting to people that were based, they were all obviously virtual. They were all over the country, but it was more motivational in nature, talking about using that social emotional learning to help students with substance abuse challenges and stuff like that. And anyway, then the next thing I know, I'm in this different world, right? This whole different world. A lot of it, I found out later, was my brain playing games with me, because a lot of things didn't really happen. I thought that my surgery happened in a big tent. Those are just some small examples of some of the delusions that I had. But anyway, so during this call, I let the people know on the call, I have to go because I have to call 911 because I have a medical emergency. I have no memory of doing that at all. A very short period of time later, the EMTs came to my house, and they have told me, as I've talked to them several times, that when they first got there, I was coherent. I wasn't completely passed out. But as soon as they got there, they talked to me for like 5 seconds, and then I passed out. And then they told me that I was a load and go. So that means just throw me in the ambulance, get me to the hospital. So they got me to St. Mary's in Livonia, and they did a whole bunch of tests to try to figure out what was happening, because they knew I was having a stroke, but they didn't know why I was having a stroke. And then they identified the aortic dissection. And fortunately for me, I was able to be airlifted to the University of Michigan, and you know, some of the best surgeons in the world are at the University of Michigan, and I was able to get an aortic dissection where they replaced the large vast portion of my aorta. So for people who don't know what an aortic dissection is, it's a tear in your aorta, and when that bursts, basically you end up the blood doesn't get where it's supposed to go, so it gets all over inside your body. So there was a bunch of drama there. And so then there was that piece where I had that, and it took about 11 o'clock at night. They finally came and told my wife that I was probably going to live. There were several times through the course of the day where she was told, I don't think he's going to make it. So she was bracing herself for that. And my life will never be the same, for sure. And then when I came to and I started, it was just like, okay, so this is where I'm at right now. I have no idea. There was no transition for me mentally. I don't remember going into this situation. I went from my life in my office doing a presentation to in the hospital. I can't even move hardly, you know? So it was just one of those things where I had to really lean hard on my faith and all of the people that were there to support me, my family that was there to support me, my church, my kids' school community. I had an outpouring of support and love that I genuinely felt in that hospital room. I felt that presence. And so then I just began to battle back, you know, working on the therapy, working on all of the things that they had in front of me. I ended up being at, you know, some of the best, you know, obviously U of M, one of the best medical facilities in the world. And I had a lot of great therapists and nurses and doctors taking care of me. So I was very fortunate to be where I am right now and the condition I am right now, to go through all of that. As far as my life changing forever, I'm not exactly sure completely how it's changed forever. As far as, I'm not sure what lies ahead. I just know that through all this, God has really shown me his love for me, and he's really shown me the impact that I've had on people in my life. Even though I'm one of those people who kind of downplays what I do, or when I do something good, I just kind of downplay it because I don't want to be that guy. But I was able to see and hear how much I mean to people. A lot of the things that people said to me, you know, how much they love me and how much they care about me and how much I've meant to them. Most of us on the planet never actually hear that stuff. Most of that stuff is said at our funeral after we're gone. And I've been fortunate enough to hear people say it. And I am going to, I've stored that stuff in my reservoir, and I've used it to get myself through moments of absolute despair since then. And those people having my back and making me feel, in realizing that I can get through this, and trying to have as strong as possible of a prayer life that I can.
We're talking to Josh Spears. If you want to learn more, www.joshuaspears.com. Friends, aortic dissection. 1% of these people make it to the operating room. And of that 1%, only 40% of the 1% survive on the operating table. That was 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
May 5th, 2023. Okay, you mentioned the outpouring of love from your family and the community. Some examples, Josh.
Sure. One of the great examples is me and my wife, we go to Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth. That's our parish. And I consistently go to this amazing men's group. It's called Men's Prayer Breakfast. It's 250 plus guys get together every Wednesday morning. And I got texts and calls and even financial support from that group. And several of them came to visit me in the hospital. Some of them were there before I even remember, like when I was still kind of out of it. But just that love and that support from that community, where people who I knew, but I didn't know them that well, and then them sharing with me how much I've meant to them over the years, it really helped me feel the love that was out there for me, and it gave me the strength and the courage to get through some very dark days. And also my sister, who's an amazing woman. She lives in Chicago and she's a homeowner, and she has rental properties, all of these things. And she put her life down for several months and came to the hospital where I was at, because I was having these really nasty, scary nightmares. And she spent every night with me. Every single night that I was in the hospital, my sister was there with me. And that was absolutely priceless. And on one more thing too, my brother, who was the person who I listened to the most, my wife was kind of frustrated because he would tell me to do something and I would do it. Everyone else would tell me and I would just like sit there and zone out. But him and his wife, they have a beautiful baby girl. Her name is Marlo. She just turned one. And they moved from Los Angeles, and they live now 5 miles from my house, but they moved into this area to be able to support me and my wife. And without them and my sister and the school and the church community and the MPB guys, I know for a fact that I would not have made it through that. I would have had several meltdowns and break. I would have broken down. I could not have gotten through it without those people. And I wanted to save the best for last, what my wife has done. She had to leave her job. She was a therapy director for a pretty good company. And she had to leave her job to take care of me because I was in that kind of shape. So yes, it's a miraculous recovery, Jack. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just an actor in the play. There's a whole bunch of people who have put me in this situation where I can get through it. It's certainly not because I'm so great.
We're talking to Josh Spears, and he's getting through some very dark days. When we come back, we're going to ask him about another dark day, May 17th. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Josh Spears. Josh, let's go back May 17th.
Yeah, so honestly, Jack, this is a story that I was told by my family because I was still out of it, so to speak, but I had moved from the ICU into the therapy area and into the regular part of the hospital. And during the course of one of my therapy sessions, as soon as they were done, they all got really concerned because my blood pressure started to drop, and I coded out. So they were trying to bring me back, and they couldn't bring me back. And my wife said that there was like two groups of 10 people came in. They rushed, took me into a different room, and I was in the other room and out. And so because I was listening to my brother so much, my sister told him, you need to go in there. And he went in there and he was screaming in my face, Josh, you can't go out like this. This is not how it's going to go down. You cannot go out like this. You need to put Charlie's face in your mind right now. And the only thing I can recall is at one point is me feeling like someone was screaming at me and me saying, okay, or uh-huh, something like that. And then I did it. I said, uh-huh. And I squeezed the person's hand and I came back and they were able to save me. But that was caused from the massive MRSA blood infection I had after the stroke. And after the aortic dissection and the stroke, I had a massive blood infection. And that's what caused the blood pressure issue, which almost killed me.
We're talking to Josh Spears. His doctors, nurses, and therapists call him a walking miracle. You say two phenomenally important factors for your recovery have been family, which you've talked about, friends, and then also attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very big on goal setting, et cetera. Talk about goal setting in your goal board.
Sure. In all fairness, the goal board was put together before I was coherent. My family never gave me an opportunity to have a pity party or feel sorry for myself. I woke up with a bunch of goals, and to me, I just went right into those. And anytime I had a moment of, a moment of despair or sadness or frustration, I just found a way to, sometimes I called, my wife would text Monsignor Todd from Our Lady Good Counsel, and he would come up and see me and walk me through. There were several times where I was in my office in my room with just me and Monsignor Todd, and I was crying, and he had his hand on my shoulder just letting me know that you're going to get through this and God is going to use this for his glory. Neither of us knowing how he was going to do that, but from the beginning, I had people like that in my life, sowing into my life. So that the whole attitude piece is something that, I had a positive attitude, and I still do have a positive attitude, but I also had a lot of people encouraging that attitude, because it takes a village to get through something like this, for sure.
All right. 9 weeks later, 63 days,
mm-hmm.
July 7th, 2023, you walked out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That was a magical day.
Talk about that day.
Sure. That day was the day that I was pushing for from the time. We talked earlier, you asked about the goal board. I had this goal board where I put the goals down. And when I do something, like let's say it's, swallow food or turn my head to the left, I take it from the goal board and I put it on the PR board, which is personal record board. That comes from my love of the Peloton, and everything's all about PRs there. Well, one of the first things I put on there was to walk out of the hospital. And the therapists and all of those people, they were very encouraging of me, my goal, but they also let me know that they didn't feel like it was very realistic. And they tried to let me know that there was still a lot of pride in riding out in a wheelchair. And so that was my goal. That was what I kept pushing for. And that led me to, when I'm in the therapy gym and I'm doing something, I would do the 10 reps I was supposed to do, and then I would do two bonus reps. That's just like the savings in the bank to get to that goal. So that's what it led to that. And then, so I had to go and practice walking on the rugs down at the lobby of the hospital. And fortunately for me, I had family come from all over the state to come and be there with me. I had all kinds of friends show up out there, drive out to Chelsea, that was the hospital I was in. And they had a clap out for me, Jack, that I was crying almost the whole time, where I started in my room, they all started clapping, and then I walked down the hallway, which was lined with all of the nurses, doctors, aides, all of those people who had taken care of me. And they walked me, as I walked down the hallway, they were all clapping for me and giving me hugs, and we're all crying together. And then I was able to make it out of to walk out of the hospital. And it was definitely an opportunity to be very thankful for what God's done in my life and the grace that he's given me to be in a situation to do that. Because I saw a lot of people in the therapy gym, just like I do with my therapy I still go to, that are working very hard. And they have good attitudes, but they don't necessarily have the bounce back that I have. Some of it had to do with the fact that I was in relatively good shape before it happened. Also, I'm very stubborn, so I'm not going to stop until I get where I need to be. And anyway, those people, sometimes it doesn't happen for them. So I just have to very humbly say that I'm very thankful that my body has responded and that I've had the support I've had.
How are you doing today, 8 months later?
I'm doing good. I'm still working on trying to decide what the next chapter for me is going to be. I'm not really sure what that looks like, but I do know, I don't exactly know how, but I knew though, you know, in Romans 8:28, it says, you know, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And that is not just those aren't words on a page, Jack. Those are promises from a loving Father. And I have been saying that since the beginning. And I'll give you an example of how God brought that to life. And this is a different way. When I was in the hospital, I didn't tell you this when we were talking before. When I was in the hospital, little did I know that somebody broke into my barn and stole two motorcycles from my house. And my boys, you know, my 7-year-old and my 11-year-old's motorcycles. Well, anyway, so I kept telling them, you know, God's going to work it out. I'm not sure how. And I just gave up on the motorcycles, and I was going to sell my other one that I had and buy an electric scooter. But then I decided I'm not buying an electric scooter because that means I'm committed to driving this scooter. And I want to walk around places. You know, I want to walk to my kids' football games. I want to walk around. Anyway, so then a few weeks ago, I was it was about a month ago or so. I was at my house and I walked out my front door to go do something in my yard. And there was a big trailer in front of my house, and I didn't really know, and there was no sign on the side of it, nothing. And the truck that was pulling the trailer was all beat up and all dented up. And it looked like it was something that got pulled fresh out of a junkyard, to be honest with you. But at the end of my driveway was a brand new motorcycle, brand new, never been used. And I walked over there and I looked at the motorcycle and I thought to myself, that's just about the size of the motorcycle that we had stolen. And then I walked around the trailer and I saw another motorcycle in the back of the truck. Same brand, same size as the one that was the other one that was stolen. And so I was able to verify with the guy who delivered them that they were for me, and they were where they were supposed to be, because I was freaking out that they were for someone else. My kids were gonna be home soon. But all of that to say that my sons got brand new motorcycles that had never been ridden before. And when they got home that day, I told them, I said, you remember, boys, Daddy's always saying God works together for good, all things together for good for those that love the Lord. And they said, yeah, Daddy, you say that all the time. And I said, sometimes this is what it looks like. And I said, go open the barn. And they opened the barn, and those motorcycles were there. That is an example of God showing up and showing off. Again, that was a completely anonymous person did that. And there's no way I can repay them because I don't know who they are. And there's no way I can really acknowledge them because they wanted to remain anonymous. But that's just an example of how God restores things to things sometimes better than they were. And where I am right now is I'm still clinging to that promise. Every single day, whether it's stuff I'm working on with projects that I have, different things like that, I'm clinging to the promise that the Lord is going to use this situation to further His kingdom and draw me closer to Him.
www.joshuaspears.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to a walking miracle, Josh Spears, who had an aortic dissection last May 5th, 8 months later, walking, talking. Josh, why aren't you mad at God?
I'm not mad at God because I know that God has given me everything I have. He's given me a beautiful wife who means the absolute world to me, beautiful boys that mean everything to me, a great community of people that love me. And in my life, I've had several situations that were very difficult, you know, getting suspended from all those schools, dealing with mental health challenges, all of those things. And all of those things made my life difficult at the time. And all of those things, as I've grown and I've grown in my faith, as I look back on my life, I can see how all of those things help build me into the person that I am. And this will be just like that. This will be something in my history, in my memory, a story that I tell that will help people. I'm not exactly sure how, but getting mad at God is nothing that never really entered my mind because He is a loving Father and this happened. I don't know what the reason is. I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be, but I just know that I could be mad at Him, but the fact is I'm 1%. So if I'm going to be mad, I'm going to throw stones. I need to be fair. So while I did have a stroke and I have my mobility is limited, I'm still alive. I still get to go watch my boys play basketball and football. When 99% of the people who had what I did don't. So if I'm going to blame somebody, I need to be honest that honestly, Jack, I have zero memory of calling 911. Nobody can tell me how. The EMPs thought that my coworkers called 911. I talked to my coworkers. They thought that somebody in my house called 911, but I was home by myself. I have no idea. So being mad at God is kind of silly because He saved me. He spared my life in a way that is very remarkable. And I just think that, you know, our life is what God gives to us, and how we live it is what we give back to Him.
If there's a listener tonight that has recently had a stroke, what do you say to him or her?
I would just say hang in there, be positive, and make sure that you have what I called in the hospital, I called it my mental bouncer. And it was that thing of like, and just envisioning my mind as like a bar or something that has, you know, people in it. And every time there's a negative thought, I hit the bouncer, kick them out. Trying to protect my thoughts, protect your thoughts, and surround yourself with people and messages and ideas and thoughts that are positive, that are uplifting, that are going to help lead you a certain way. And just know this, that it's what you're going through right now. In many cases, it's temporary and it will get better. Trust me, it does get better. And surround yourself with good people. Find some good podcasts that you love. Find some good books that you love. And just pour yourself into those and build that positive momentum and the positive energy.
And what do you say to that stroke victim's family?
That's a really good one. I'm very fortunate. My wife was off the charts good. But one thing that's to those family members who are supporting him is just realizing that in that moment, whether you're a family member or part of the community who's helping that person, God is using you right now to show His love to your family member. So just walk in that knowledge. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes it's difficult, but just realize that you're on a heavenly mission to help that person through one of the darkest, most difficult things they're ever going to go through. And try to do it, if you can, with a smile on your face, because that's infectious. And my wife still has fun. We still goof around, even though I'm, you know, hobbling around the house, and I'm not quite the old Josh I used to be. But just try to build those relationships and protect those relationships. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts in the hospital. Constantly listening to stuff. There's a couple songs I listen to over and over and over again by an artist named Zach Williams. It's all about God has a plan for all of us, and we don't always know what the plan is. And so for me, I think it's keep an eye on what's going in your mind. What are you reading? What are you watching? If it's nothing, fill it with positive stuff. For me, if I don't fill it actively, intentionally with something positive, I'm going to default, just the way I'm wired, I default to the negative. So I had to go over and above to watch all kinds of positive YouTube videos that made me feel good about what I was going through. And that's how I was able to keep grinding it out and, you know, rip the good situation out of the hands of the negative one, basically. So
www.joshuaspears.com. Joshua Spears, aortic dissection 8 months ago, 1% make it to the operating table, and only 40% of the 1% live after the operating table. Joshua, what's amazed you the most these past 8 months?
What's amazed me the most the past 8 months is how much my family and my friends and my community love me and value me, and they make me feel so loved and so special. That's been one of the most amazing things through all of this, is that feeling, those connections, the conversations I've had with people. Jack, I'm at dinner with my wife, and a family member or a friend from the school comes up, and they have a conversation, and they talk about how much I'm helping them and motivating them. And I'm thinking, how am I motivating you? What's going on? You know, because they're one of those people that, from the outside looking in, they got it all together, right? Which we know nobody really does, but a lot of people look like they got it all together. And then through the course of the conversation, she finally told us that her husband had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and that me and my wife and our relationship through this was a source of inspiration for them. So just realizing that the people that you don't even realize you're on their radar, but you are having an impact, whoever you are listening to this show, every day you talk to other people, you interact with those people, you are a part of their life. Now, our lives are like a big canvas, and every person that we talk to and interact with is putting some paint on that canvas with the brushes. And in some rare cases, there's the people who are painting a lot of bad things on the canvas. But I would just say that it's going to be very difficult to find the good people to put good things on your canvas if you don't know what you want the canvas to look like to begin with.
Josh Spears, you're a living example of letting go and letting God. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.